I shall now count from 1 to 10. 1. You are in Germany.
Please excuse my curiosity, but what are you doing here?
I'm a sleeping car conductor.
2. The year is 1945.
Alles, was Sie tun sollen, ist eine Sprengladung unter Ihrem Schlafwagen zu befestigen.
Jesus Christ.
3. You are in a train in Germany.
It was the sight of the hanged people that touched me so deeply. After all, they were only fighting for their country.
4. You are being led through the train. You are led through carriages you never knew existed.
It's time someone showed this country a little kindness.
Aber Sie sind ja wirklich ein echter Idealist, Herr Kessler.
Back into your compartments now!
6. You love her. You experience the fear of being on a train. 8. Your heart is pumping faster and faster in panic.
How is this train to take us to Bremen, Munich, Frankfurt, or fucking Auschwitz? I wanted to stay right here!
9. You cannot breathe.
Now, Mr. Kessler, I ask you to prove your open mind and show a little kindness to me.
10. You want to wake up, to free yourself of the image of Europa. But it is not possible.
Hi, welcome to Movie Uppers. Hi.
Hi. Hi.
Hi.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
My name is Bob Sham.
I am Angela.
The sounds of your may be dogs.
And or ghosts.
Wait a minute. I know this movie we're watching is often in black and white.
Mm-hmm.
It keeps flashing into colored.
Yeah.
But we're still in black and white, so maybe you should snap your fingers and we can be color again.
Mmm, got it.
Now we're back. We left Noir Month behind. We're done. And we loved it. We had a great time. We loved those movies. Got a lot of S tiers in the bag. I think there was only one that was even mid. They were all good.
Yep.
But now we move on. One thing that about this year, is going to be shit, right? I mean, it's an election year. We know what's coming down the pike. Fucking garbage. So let's make it worse by discussing, before the end of the year, a dozen Lars von Trier movies. Mm-hmm. And he loves his trilogies, and we're rounding out his first one from his first feature films, the Europa Trilogy.
Yeah!
And the movie we're discussing today is the last of that, called Europa! Also called Zentropa, sometimes.
Makes sense to be called Zentropa.
And before we delve into this, we just talked about Noir Month, and this movie, much like Element of Crime, has like that genre feel to it.
Yes.
And is really a lot tighter story-wise, and Element of Crime plays into more of surrealist side of things. And this one definitely has it, but there is actually a pretty nice, pretty well-done story here.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get into that, maybe people will know or not. I think this is the kind of show where people just kind of bounce around a lot in.
Mm-hmm.
Understandably so. But we did we do this thing called randomly generated movie reviews.
Yes.
And the last time we did one, we pulled one out of a comedy category. And we got like a Zach Braff movie. It's not Garden State.
No.
I might have kept it if it was Garden State. It's like another one he made and wrote himself. And we got a lot of movies, a lot of plans. And I just decided that I don't want to watch that movie.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
And that we're just not going to do it. We got plenty to do, plenty of projects. Maybe we'll revisit the randomly generated review down the road because I did kind of enjoy the concept. But admittedly, some of our most, well, I mean, as per design of it, our most random ass episodes are those episodes. And they are, I don't know if they're the best ones. Like the last time we talked about Clifford the Big Red Dog. And yeah. It was weird talking about that movie.
It was really weird.
And we didn't rate it highly.
No.
But it's also just like some dumb kids movie.
Yes.
And yeah. So we're not going to talk about the Zach Braff movie.
Thank God.
I think it was called Wish I Was Here. We'd probably just shit on it anyway. So we just won't bother.
Love that.
We'll save the trouble. But a movie I will not shit on. Yes, I do enjoy this movie, the third of the trilogy. And the trilogies kind of pan out like this one's in the past. I think Epidemic felt more like it was meant to be in the present and almost setting up what happens in the first one, which seems to take place in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if Lars von Trier wanted it to all work out that way. But I just assume that all these movies are in the exact same world. And it also involves a hypnotist, people being put under suggestion where they have to tell the story. So, and we open up with our main character, Leopold Kessler, as played by Jean-Marc Barr.
Yes. You know, it's interesting, and we can talk about this when we get to the end of the movie, but it is set up as though it's a hypnotism.
You will now listen to my voice. My voice will help you and guide you still deeper into Europa. Every time you hear my voice, with every word and every number, you will enter a still deeper lair, open, relaxed, and receptive.
Okay, this character, he comes from America to Germany.
Yes.
Right after World War II has ended.
Yes.
And this guy we come to find was AWOL. He served like maybe a year and then bailed before he had to go to war. And so he had actually been AWOL and he decided to move to Germany, but he has relatives there.
He has an uncle there.
He has an uncle there who's like a drunk codger who co-runs his train. And he doesn't like his own family, but he'll do things for his family. So he's helping his nephew set up to be a train car conductor for a sleep car.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, you know, he's training him what to do. And the very first train ride, he meets the daughter of the owner of the train. And the train is Zentropa.
Yeah.
That's the train company.
It's an international train company that, and the U.S. is occupying, of course, Germany at this time, or at least the parts that they're in, West Germany or whatnot. And the U.S., they've got the pressure on the population because there's nationalists out there that are still loyal to the previous regime.
Yeah.
This was a real thing.
Yeah.
They call themselves werewolves.
I mean, this one is the most based in reality
but also,
of the three.
But also the military is there to play the politics of the scenario for the fact that, like, important people that ran companies or scientists or whatever at the time would be beneficial to the United States. So not everyone who was like some hardline Nazi, if you were like a plebe nobody, that you would get your ass made an example of. But if you were a guy that was really good at science or ran an international railway company that happened to have hauled, you know, concentration camp prisoners to their deaths, then if the U.S. can get in on that venture, then they'll be a little more forgiving.
Very soon, they start to try to use Leopold. A lot of people are trying to use Leopold. But what I wanted to say about the lady is, as far as his reason for coming to Germany, you know, he meets her and she's our femme fatale. You know, she's obviously going to be a big part of this story. She's wonderful.
She's the daughter of the train magnate.
Yes. And she asks him why. Why would you come here right now?
That's a good question.
He says to her, I felt that it was important to come here and work because I feel like it's time people were nice to this country. I also would like to take 1 second to say it was killing me the whole time. I could not figure out why I knew this woman's face, right?
Mm-hmm.
Guess what movie we've already done for this show that she is in? You'll never guess.
Okay.
Don't cheat.
Okay, I won't cheat. I'm going to say, what's eating Gilbert Grape?
Johnny Mnemonic. Also, she worked a lot with one of our favorite director-writers from Germany. And...
Werner?
Yes, Rainer Werner Fassbinder.
Oh.
Well, so the other Werner.
Wait, is she in The Bitter Tears of Petra von Kant?
No.
Oh, okay.
She's in Lola, though. And right now, our local theater that we talk about a lot, the Bell Court, is doing a month of trilogies. And we're actually, after recording this, going to see the first in his trilogy.
The Marriage of Maria Vaughn. Yes. Maria Braun.
Yeah. Marriage of Maria Braun. And then...
We're not discussing it for the show, but yes, we're going to go see a Rainer Werner Fassbinder trilogy.
But the last of the trilogy is Lola.
And that's what she's in. Which
is this lady. She was also in M. Butterfly.
You're talking about Barbara Sokoa. And I think we will see her again by the summer, so.
I'm excited. I love her.
I'm going to go ahead and reveal that we're getting from this Leopold Kessler, the American, is played by Jean-Marc Barr. He has been, we don't see the person who's doing the hypnotism, but he's like counting them down into certain points. And it's almost like he's, the voice is actualizing things that happen into his life,
leading him through,
and we see the end of his life by the end of the movie. So how do you think, do you have any theories as to how that voice plays out to his life? Was he hypnotized into going to Germany? Was he hypnotized and his entire fate kind of predetermined to go about this way?
Because he's not hypnotized if at the end he's dead. Like, he's not being hypnotized to go back through it unless he's already dead, being hypnotized after he's dead.
No, yeah, that's, you know, why it saying? Makes it strange. That's why it's like...
That's why I said it's... I feel like it's a trick.
Suggested to go through this whole process, and if so, why? Or is what he encounters supposed to be, like, what he's supposed to go through? Or is he happen to be going through this?
Or... is the hypnotist leading us through it?
Correct.
And as you focus your attention entirely on my voice, you will slowly begin to relax. Two, your hands and your fingers are getting warmer and heavier. Three, the warmth is spreading through your arms, to your shoulders and your neck.
Because...
Well, definitely doing that.
Well, but as though we're hypnotized. Because I actually had the thought, the opening of this movie, when he's doing the counting down that you were just talking about, you're watching just a, like, the bottom half of the screen is light on a railway that's just rolling, 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 rolling. And I actually thought to myself, if you were someone who was very susceptible to hypnotism, this movie could hypnotize you unintentionally. Mm. And so I almost wonder if it's that, because in the second movie, at the end, the father hypnotizes his daughter to walk through a scenario that she did not live herself, but it so horrifies her that it ostensibly gives her a disease.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, do you have the power? Like, is that the connection, you know?
And in the Element of Crime, the man from Cairo is hypnotizing him to tell the story of what he had went through.
Because theoretically, he can't remember what happened.
And he had already been to Cairo, did this thing, and went back.
Mm-hmm.
That aspect of suggestion, and it all taking place in Central Europe, and of course, it's all written by the same two guys, Lars von Trier and Niers Vorsel. There is this interesting element of post-war Germany. Our hero, Leopold Kessler, he's kind of torn between two worlds. It's pretty clear that Kate, as played by Barbara Sokoa, that she likes him pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And she is drawn into him. They even make love on a toy train set that her father gave her brother, and the brother never looked at it or played with it.
Well, the brother hates the father and hates Germany and wants to leave.
Yeah, he actually wants to go to America.
Yeah.
But she also, at one point, just tells him, like, you know, I'm not a werewolf.
Well,
you know, I was
right before they have sex on the train set. She says to him, I want to test your loyalty. I think you're very loyal. I used to be a werewolf, but I'm not anymore. Now show me that you forgive me by fucking me or something to that effect.
Now, at the same time, he's training to be a sleep car conductor, and his uncle is played by Ernst Hugo Yarigard. He's a very funny character, and he's just like a miserable piece of shit. But and there's at one point where like they're making him go through a test while something very tense is happening, and it's just like this humor of this German like rigidness of going through these and being exact and going through this exact process while fucking chaos is happening at the same time.
Yeah.
And there's also an American, like, general, commander, whatever rank he is, played by Eddie Constantine, who he knows all about Leopold. He's like, I know you were AWOL, but I think you can be very beneficial here if you... And Leopold learns about the werewolves when the train goes by, and he sees two people hung with the sign that says werewolf.
Yeah, and so this general guy is trying to use him. Obviously, he's working for this man who runs this train company in Germany. And then also, he connects with the werewolves, and unbeknownst to him, he carries out a job for them because this man walks up, and the family's last name is Hartman. It's Kat Hartman.
And they're friends.
Or Kate Hartman.
The guy who runs the train.
Well, the man says he is.
Yes, he says
he is. He comes up with two children, and he says, we're friends of the Hartmans. They said you would help us. Please watch these two boys. They'll be picked up at the end. There's some fucking brutal things that happen in this movie, and this one was very disturbing, but it's not that it was... Like, the way he uses the black and white and the color and the way the camera shots, I really love this movie. I think it's shot brilliantly.
And on the train car, there's this couple, and one man is a mayor. He's been assigned by the United States.
Just became the mayor.
The mayor of this little German town, and he's on this train. And these kids are, first they're in with the conductor car, and his uncle's like, get these fucking kids out of here. So he figures out, he's like, oh, I can leave these kids with this nice old couple and they'll be nice.
And the lady's like feeding the little one chocolate.
And they leave the kid, and the oldest boy, he's like 8 years old, pulls out a pistol and just starts blasting, and he kills the guy who's going to be the mayor. And the way it cuts, it's like a lot of this is like very front. Sometimes you get a lot of stuff that's front focused and it looks like the background's like a green screen.
Yeah.
There's some moments that almost seems like the characters are standing in front of older film reels or something.
Mm-hmm.
And when he shoots this mayor, it flashes to where the mayor becomes like this big blown up image in the background, but the boy's the same size and he's shooting. And it's just this effect that looks really unique and cool.
Absolutely. And then in the same moment, it's black and white, but the blood splatters are red.
The shot compositions that Von Trier does, even out the gate from Element of Crime, which is really good. And this one is even better. Like, this is his best movie to this point.
Absolutely.
Like, without a doubt.
And, you know, sometimes if you do the black and white thing where, like, you'll only see one thing in color, sometimes that feels very cheap, you know? Like, it feels like, oh, they're doing a gimmick. Like, this lady's lipstick is always red or whatever. But the way that he does it and the fact that he's layering all of these different techniques, it's not that it's always... red things are red or blood is red. It's like certain scenes are in color and certain scenes are not. And sometimes people are blurry and fuzzy.
At the very start, Leopold, we see the back of him and he turns his head this way and it's black and white. And then he turns his head that way and his cheek is color.
Mm-hmm.
And when the color pops in and out, it doesn't look like a natural color. It looks almost like a technicolor, like almost like it was painted in the frames and stuff like
they
that.
Filmed it all in black and white then colored it.
But
it's really interesting.
So there's a scene where the guy that runs Entropa, they need this guy to kind of get a pass by the bureaucracy, and the government is helping him get a pass. And there's this thing where they have to, people who have to go through some bureaucratic red tape to reach a certain status or maintain a status in the community, it has to be approved by either someone who was a proven member of the resistance at the time or a Jewish person, someone that they would have eradicated most of in their country.
Yeah.
And so they bring in a Jewish man, and it's played by Lars von Trier. And he lies on behalf of the government and says that this guy tried to hide him.
And then you find out later that it's because the general caught him stealing and basically said, do this favor for me and I won't arrest you.
And Udo Hartman, we do find out later that his trains were carting Jewish prisoners to their death.
Yeah, and of course, you know, Kate at some point tries to say, like, that he tries to say that he sort of tried to pretend that wasn't happening, but you fucking know it was. Like, you can't, you're liable. It's your train.
So apparently at this time, Lars von Trier has played with this type of aesthetic, this German Nazi aesthetic before. And I wanted to bring up some times in which he's kind of said things that are controversial. But this one is very debatable to me. There's some things that are just like, oh, this is kind of creepy. Or like, you probably just should, that seemed wrong. You shouldn't have done that. But this happened around when Melancholy was filmed. And I think he thought he was Jewish for a lot of his life. And that's why and maybe he is a little bit, but he discovered that he was, he made this weird joke when he was asked about his movies being German romance. And he said that he had joked that since he was no longer Jewish, having been told the truth about his biological father, he now understands and sympathizes with Hitler, and that he is not against the Jews, except for Israel, which is a pain in the ass, and that he is a Nazi.
How can I get out of this sentence?
by another question. Here's your salvation.
Oh my God.
Now, what's his name? Skarsgård. Stellan Skarsgård, who's worked with him a lot, we'll see him a lot this year, and Kirsten Dunst, who worked with him on Melancholia, yeah, they both defended him. They were like, yeah, that sounded weird as fuck, but he's a weirdo making a joke, and it did not hit. And there's some things we'll talk about with von Trier that are definitely, I think, are going to ultimately paint him worse. But I do honestly think that he was trying to make a dumb joke.
It sounds like he was.
Because if he really was that, he's not going to say that in front of like a film festival in reaction to his question about German romance. But I think, yeah, he did try to make a joke and it didn't work at all.
That's how it sounds. It's a bad joke.
Skarsgård's a pretty thorough defender of his. He's like, obviously it was a joke. And Skarsgård is also the big fat man in Dune. He's the big fat blobby man. He's like the big bad in the Dune movies right now. He gets kissed on the mouth by Austin Butler in Dune Part 2. We'll have to check that out.
I didn't even know Austin Butler was in Dune Part 2.
Yeah, he's all chalky. He's all chalked up, painted white. This Austin Butler kid, we'll be talking more about him. But I wanted to go through that weird little controversial moment.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, I mean, he is a weirdo. There's absolutely no doubt about that.
So, but back to the movie. The same night that he shows up as the Jewish man who's representative of, basically says, like, this man is my friend, I know him, he hid me during the war, basically to give him, like, he's a real good guy, he's definitely not a Nazi. And that happens, and then Kate and Leopold go upstairs, and this is when they fuck on the train set. And while they're upstairs fucking on the train set, her father goes into the bathroom and gets in the bath. And he takes a bath a lot because he takes a bath whenever he's upset. He starts cutting himself.
And he kills himself.
He kills himself. That scene is disturbing as well because obviously he's killing himself and that is not fun to watch. But he truly is like cutting all over his body. It felt very intense.
They sense that something is wrong and they start to crowd around the door.
Yeah.
And the shot goes overhead and he's left the water running and the water is red from his blood. And when the shot goes overhead, you see red water flooding into the room under the crack of the door. It's a really sharp ass shot. Mm-hmm. I mean, he knows how to fucking compose shots here. Like he's really fucking good at it. Oh, he ends up marrying Kate and they kind of live in some kind of...
Yeah, they separate for like a month.
Yeah.
Because everything's confiscated that the dad owned. So Kate she doesn't have a home. She kind of disappears.
So the werewolves approach him and they pull him into a car after the train stops and some funeral service is happening. The U.S. won't allow Hartman's body to get off the train, but he is talked into stopping the train so they can haul the body off.
Yeah.
But during this time, he is talking to this guy who informs him. He's like, basically tells him, like, you're going to bomb this train when it reaches a certain part of the bridge.
So this guy who's sort of the head of the werewolves does tell him you have to bomb this thing, and he kidnaps Kate. And Kate calls him, basically, and says, come to my father's villa. He gets there, and the villa seems to be empty. He finds her dead brother. And, you know, he's given these instructions, so he takes this bomb to the train. This is the night when his exam gets popped up on him. So he's supposed to do his conductor's exam. He's trying to save his wife's life by doing this bomb for the werewolves. He still thinks his wife is not a werewolf. He thinks that she's been kidnapped by the werewolves.
To help seal the deal to get him to do it, the wife is on another train, and she explains the instructions again as the train is going back and forth.
The bomb has to go off in the middle of the bridge where it's under repair. The train will go very slowly. Leo, ich kann ja nicht mehr sagen.
Wir tolerieren keinen Fehler.
Sie lassen dich nicht aus den Augen. Vergiss nicht, Kontrollpass vor mit. I love you.
At first, he gets off the train. Well, he plants the bomb and he sets up the circuit. And then he gets off the train. And then as it's approaching the bridge, he like changes his mind.
Well, and you hear the voice say, you off the train, you're resting in the grass, you're looking up at the sky. And then you realize you can't do this. This is not who you are. You have to stop the bomb.
So he has a timer set up and he manages to get on the train.
He runs and catches the train.
It's claustrophobic as hell, kind of pushing himself through the rail car. It's very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And then he gets to the timer right before it counts down, mm-hmm, and he cuts it off and it disables the bomb. The bomb did not go off. And he can see a car like pacing and honking. So he knows he needs to figure out, like, literally the general guy is trying to talk to him. They're trying, the conductor dude and his uncle are trying to make him take a sleep car conducting test. And it is comical and tense all at the same time. Like, it is both funny and like aggravating, yeah, to sit through.
He stops the train and these soldiers, I guess American guys, because the Americans own the train now, have gotten the werewolf man and Kate and, yeah, have brought them onto the train car. And so everyone is like in different rooms in the train car and they're all numbered, right?
And Kate is handcuffed.
Yeah, they tell him at some point, your wife's in number one if you want to go see her. So he goes in and she's handcuffed. He's like, what's up? And they tell him, you're the American general is there. And he basically says, your wife is a werewolf.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm so sorry.
And she pretty much admits it.
She says she really did love him.
You know, watching Noir Month all month, I honestly thought that she was lying at first and then changed her mind later.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of how it often panned out.
Yeah.
In the old classic film noirs. But no, she's just a straight up like nationalist the whole time.
She has regrets because she does love him. But she actually says to him, you're worse than anyone because you were going to kill the people on this train and you were going to get away. Everyone on this train has done something bad because everyone lived through this war. And so you are now the worst person on this train because you didn't end it.
Yeah.
And so he gets a gun and he like tells everybody, he's like bossing everybody around.
He steals a gun from an MP and just takes the train hostage. He's losing his shit. He's losing his fucking mind.
Oh, yeah. But then he goes into the car where he set up the timer and he...
And then it cuts and we see a far shot of the train exploding.
Yep.
And then that's when, as if the congestion of the train wasn't uncomfortable enough, then we essentially watch this guy drown.
Yeah.
And it is like minutes long and we hear the hypnotist voice counting down. Like, he's counting down to 10, but it's taking him like 30 seconds to count down.
Yeah, because he literally says, when I get to 10, you will die.
And we're watching Leopold just kind of struggle, and he's barely surviving, getting his head above the water at certain points. But ultimately, the train car that he's in is just sinking and sinking.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, and you can see people escaping, and they're swimming through the water, but he's just sinking in the train car, and the door is stuck. and we literally watch this man drown. It's terrifying, honestly.
But then there's this interesting sort of peaceful part that happens right after. And I don't know if that's the feeling I was supposed to get, but the narrator's still talking. And eventually the water pressure causes the door to open that he couldn't get open. And his body floats out of the train car and down the river and into the sea.
Into the open sea.
Yeah. And it's sort of like, I don't know, there's this part where he goes through these tall grasses under the water and it's almost beautiful. It reminded me of the scene of the dead woman in the car in Night of the Hunter we talked so much about. It's just, this movie is visually stunning. There's one part where he's really upset about Kate and you see her face is like the whole image and he's this little man in the corner like crying because he doesn't know what to do. It's just the way that he plays with proportion and also color and texture, even within, like you said, sometimes it's truly like you and I are talking, but there's a green screen of like a bunch of people laughing behind us. But it works.
And it's, yeah, just watching the terror of a man drown. And then it ends on a weirdly serene note when you watch his body just flow out into the sea.
Follow the river. As days go by, head for the ocean. That mirrors the sky.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a good movie. I liked it. I enjoyed it. It is definitely his best so far. The best of the trilogy, I would say.
Absolutely.
I do like Element of Crime pretty well. Apparently, the box office did not make the budget back here. But yeah, still a good one to look back on here. As we finish off Lars von Trier's Europa Trilogy. You're going to give 1 through 5. I'm going to give 1 through 5 combined for best out of 10. What do you give Europa?
4.5.
I'm going to give it like a...
This is by far my favorite of...
He's really creative. He's very creative.
There was never a second that I wasn't interested visually more than anything. Like, the story is also interesting, and I do appreciate that, like I said, this one does feel more rooted in reality. And he messes with your perception, not only visually, but mentally. Like, who do you feel sorry for? Who is the bad guy? I mean, you know who the bad guy is, but he's still able to, like, pull you in directions that you don't expect.
I'm going to give it a solid 4.
Okay.
An 8.5, I think, is a great score.
I think it is. Yeah.
All right, take a look at it here. At 8.5, Lars von Trier's Europa from 1991 is in between Devil in a Blue Dress and Fox and His Friends, another weird weird romantic German guy, who we're going to actually leave here and watch the first of his BRD trilogy. Mm-hmm. So, yes, Fassbender. Right by his buddy, Lars von Trier. I don't think they ever knew each other. Fassbender died in like 81, I think. But that's that. And the next Lars von Trier movie we'll discuss in about a month, we're actually going to have them back to back. We're going to be discussing Breaking the Waves and The Idiots. So get ready after a month full of comedy, because all month long is awkward laughter to the flop. We're going to examine some comedies that didn't do well at the box office, but how do they fare decades later? Are they cult hits? Are they better than a lot of people thought they were? Join us all month long. And until then,
death to all traitors.
You want to wake up to free yourself of the image of Europa, but it is not possible.